Father, we are here in your presence with friends and family and sisters and brothers in Christ. And we just pray, Lord, that now your word will come through the power of your Spirit to our hearts and do its work, is what we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome, friends. Good to see you all. Good faces are faces that I'm so glad to see. I've seen my friends that I haven't seen for a while, somebody like Richard and his family, and quite a few others, and I'm so glad that you're here today. It is good to be in the house of God and with friends and with families. Here in this church, we are doing the series called Going Back to Basics. Going Back to Basics was really unanimously adopted by our church, by the church board first. And I'm glad that we have started this series. And we are starting with a series on prayer. Last time we talked about something that is important, which is, look, there's nobody in the world that doesn't pray. But it's one thing to pray to God, but it's quite another to pray for God in your life. So we lay that foundation, we put that stone as a cornerstone of being very important. But today, we are adding another cornerstone of going back to basics. And that is, when you pray, the essence of your prayer is that you pray the gospel, that you pray a gospel in your prayer. So I'm starting with this psalm, a beautiful psalm. And just remember that the sermon is one thing, but the word of God is so much more important. So you open your ears when you hear the word of God, okay? So let's hear it. Let's hear it. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for men, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. That's how the psalm started. That's how the psalm finished. Psalm is all about human emotions, in all about the condition of a human heart. Somebody said that Psalm is the best counseling book, God's best counseling book you can come across. So, if you, for some reason, don't want to go to counselors, go to Psalms, okay? That's a book to go to. And I'm sure that so many of you do. You can't go wrong if you go to Psalms. Look, there are cases of people in the book of Psalms who are doubtful, lonely, angry, in grief, guilty, fearful, suffering from shame. And that's what and who we are. These are the experiences you and I go through. But let me tell you a little bit about this psalm. Not too much, but just a couple of words about this psalm. What we know is that this is David's psalm. But what is also interesting, that there is no sense of a particular event that made David write this psalm. Typically, when David would write a psalm, it would come from certain kind of experience that he was going through, and then he would be kind of propelled to write a psalm. He was an awesome poet, and awesome, probably awesome singer and player of instruments. But he would be propelled to do a psalm or to write a psalm based on an event. But this one doesn't seem to be so. Also, there is no reference in this psalm about his enemies. Typically, when you read David's psalms, some of them, and many of them actually, are there about to talk about his enemies, because David had a lot of enemies around him as well as inside his own people. So he would write about his enemies. So this psalm doesn't talk about his enemies. Also, there's no mentioning of specific sins, which very often he would write in his psalm. So it's kind of is very different from other psalms. So this is what I put to you. It is a psalm on how to handle life in general. It gives you the key on how to handle all life circumstances, not just some aspect of it, not just fear, doubt, anger, loneliness, joy, shame, guilt, but all of those together. In other words, these psalms give you principles how to approach life and handle life properly, okay? So, but the key is here. It's in the very first statement of Psalm 103. He says this: "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits." And we are going to focus and zoom in on this expression, "forget not," and what it means. So he's giving us the key how to handle the life properly, how to honor God, because he is the key. And the way to do it is not to forget. So the key two words are to remember and not to forget. So let's start. Biblically speaking from the point of how David views it, and you could almost say the whole of the Old Testament, and even the New Testament, to remember or not to forget is not just a mental recalling of things. If I ask you not to forget or to remember, I'm asking you to do some kind of thinking and that you keep it in your mind that you are not forgetful. But when David speaks about that, it's not just a mental exercise. It's much deeper. It is not just counting your blessings. It's more than that. He goes into the core of it because he says, "Oh, my soul, praise God, my inmost being." So he goes to the core of who we are. And he says, our major problem is our forgetfulness. But it's not just mental recalling. It's not just counting the blessing. It goes much deeper than that. That's what we are going to look at today. So here are the questions we are going to look today. Why do we have to remember? And why that remembering in the core of our soul is essential? And what is the crux of remembering? And what is it essentially, fundamentally, that we are to remember and never ever to forget? And how are we to remember it? Now, just a practical question. How is it that we so often forget in a biblical sense? And why is it so hard to remember? Or putting it another way, why is it so important to remember and not to forget? I'm going to share with you a couple of Bible verses, because if you would look at the concordance, there are so many Bible texts that talk about remembering and forgetting. But I'm just going to look at some of the key ones so that we get a drift, that we get a gist of it. Here is one. Look at it. You are afraid, God speaking, you are afraid of mortal men who are but grass, and you what? You forget the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth. So this is what God is saying. You fear somebody, and fear is normal human feeling. You fear of someone because of forgetting me. But do you get it? It's nothing to do with the mental recalling of things. It is much, much deeper. So when the Bible says forget, when the Bible says remember, it's just not mental exercise. It is to do with the core of your heart and of your soul. And something is happening there. I'll give you another one. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Oh, so many things, the whole jolly list of it, hey. For whoever lacks these qualities is blind. And look what he says. Having what? Having forgotten. And remember what I said to you. It's just not a mental recalling. It's not a mental exercise. It's deeper than that. You have forgotten. And what have you forgotten? That he was, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Look, when God remembers and when God forgets, this is another Bible text. I remember your sins no more. You know this text. And look, it's more than mental exercise. Do you think that God doesn't remember? Really? Is this what God is saying? Is this what he means? In 2020, Zenny sinned, but I can't remember that he did. God, who he has a bit of an amnesia. That's not what the text is saying. So it's not just a mental exercise. How many of you can say this? I remember your sins no more, and it's not mental exercise. They don't grab me. I don't harbor hard feelings towards you anymore. Folks, that's much deeper. And that's what God is saying. So forgetfulness and remembering is something which is much more than what we understand. So biblically, remembering relates to the core of our consciousness, which in turn affects you completely at the level of your thoughts, of your emotions, of your motives, and of your behavior. Okay, so now let's start digging a little deeper, so that this is not just theory. I'm going to scratch you where you itch, okay? How many times did you say this? I promise I will never do that again. And you know what? You were so sincere that every fiber of your being meant it. I did that. But how come you didn't keep it? Am I the only one? Okay, I want to hear amen, all right? Okay, good, good. Well, that's it. So, what on earth is going on? What is really happening? Let's break it down. Let's break it down, okay? At that moment when you said, and when you see how bad and wrong it was, You made a promise. However, within days or weeks or months, you did it again. What happened? It's not a matter of you forgetting it, is it? You didn't forget it. When you made a promise, it was vivid, so obvious. It impacted you and it impacted somebody else. But what happened is this. It no longer has a grip on you. Something happened about the core of your being that changed. That's biblical concept of forgetfulness. Do you see that? That's what the Bible is saying. That's what God is saying. There's no grip anymore. So you can recollect your promise, but you can't remember the feeling. There's no grip it had on you before. Remember Peter? When Jesus solemnly, Thursday night, before his crucifixion, in front of all disciples, said, "All of you will flee away in the greatest hour of my need. And you, Peter, are going to deny me." Do you remember what Peter said? What did he say? He said exactly what we say. Nothing different. He said with the very core of his being, with every fiber within himself, "Lord, I am never, ever going to do it." Now let me ask you, how much do you trust yourself? "Oh, this person is so sincere. This person is so honest." Yeah, sure. Unless you come to the point that you understand the human predicament and what the core of a problem of sin is, you really don't know what you're talking about. Actually, you do, but you are sometimes, so you and I are willfully blind. So what we are talking about is a human predicament. Let's go a little deeper here. So here it is. Things which are really important for us lose their grip on us. I just let this settle, okay? And things which are unnecessary, things which are not important, have their grip on us. Okay, let's go a little further. Things that you should give, that should give you confidence, keep you strong, affirm your heart strong and humble, we forget. And unnecessary, look at this. Cruel things, terrible things, ugly things, frightening things, these things always stay with us and don't leave us. Do you get what I'm saying? Why is that? If someone hurts you, you will remember it always. Have you asked yourself a question, why? I mean, we just live with that reality. We know what we feel. We know what it is. But why is it that you remember it always? It just doesn't go away from your thinking. It doesn't go away from your emotions. It's just there sitting as a pebble in your shoe. It doesn't go away. If your parents said something bad, and so many kids are suffering because of what parent did or what parents said to them, and they just can't get away with it. They are pursued throughout their lives in a negative way. It stays etched in your memory. This affects you. This becomes so central to us. Why? On the other hand, important things, compliments, encouragements, affirmation, good deeds, kind words, blessings, beauty, this has a short effect on us. It does not last. It does not grip us as much as the other one. What on earth is going on with us? Why are we like this? Why is our heart so wrongly displaced? That positive does not have a control, but the negative has a control over us. Listen to the conversation between people. We are so easily turning to negatives. So easily, it's such a default mode for us. Jolly thing us. And we know it's not right, but somehow we struggle with shaking it off. So, Bible says this is what it means to forget. You forget. Why does God or someone else need to tell you 100 times that you are special before you believe it? So there's something wrong with our minds and with our hearts. We remember bad and we forget good. Good, noble, kind things fade away and have no control over us. Bad things, ugly, awful, sad, have a lasting effect on us. I mean, I'm repeating myself, aren't I? What is the reason for it? Culture will never tell you this. You know, our culture will never tell you that the bottom line of it, of this all, is sin. Okay? Never will tell you. They will talk about the symptoms of a problem. But it's easy to do that. But what is the solution? And here is, but the Bible says it's a sin. You remember the event when God dries Jordan River? Then he tells the Israelites to grab a stone and place it. Why did he ask them to do that? That they don't forget, but that they remember. Yet, what an amazing thing that God has done for them. I mean, imagine you experience drying of a river. Wouldn't that be etched in your memory and affect you? And so that you see and you are in awe of this amazing God all the time. And bang, they forget. Why? So that's a question now. Why? Why? When you come into the promised land, I want you to see this text. Be aware lest your heart becomes proud. Do you see what comes before forget? Your heart becomes what? Proud. And then you forget. Here it is. Okay, now we are going to the core of things. Why is it that we forget in a biblical sense? It dates back all the way to our mother, Eve. You could almost argue that the problem of Eve was a problem of forgetfulness. Imagine coming freshly out of the hand of a creator, and you observe this world and you appreciate and you are full of gratitude and you are in awe of a creator God whom you can see every day around the sunset and have a privilege to talk to him. That's what she had. But for some reason, this lost a grip on her. And a serpent came, and a serpent comes and offers a totally new thing, which is, you can become like God. Takes her breath away. Like God? The creator of the universe? This amazing God, I can be like him. Takes her breath away. And she says, I want that. And I can be separate from God. I can be God myself. So instead of being at awe of a greatness and mercy and love and a beauty of the most amazing person in the whole of the universe, she turns to herself. She becomes her own God. And her own importance becomes the first thing. My priorities, my successes, my life. You don't need to tell me anything. It's about me. That's what became an essence of sin. And she forgot the greatness and the love and the beauty and amazing reality of who God is. The problem of Eve. So why do we forget? We want our greatness, our glory, our success, our rule. I will be like God. It's all about me. And therefore, we don't want God's greatness, His glory, His success, His rule. That's why we forget. Let's go to this one. What is the crux of remembering? I'll try to give you tools and I'll try to give myself tools. These are the tools that we need to deal with the problem of forgetfulness. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Question, who is Psalmist talking to? Who is he talking to? Is he talking to God? No. Who is he talking to? Himself. But he says he's talking to his soul, to his the very core of his being, my inmost being, he said. Why? Why is he doing that? Here is why he's doing that. Because in my inmost being, there is an unbelief. In the center of my being, there is a rebellion against God, and I can't take the truth. It's not enough to say, I believe that. It's not enough to intellectually believe. You have to talk to the core of your being. We're going to dissect this. So there has to be a vigorous, disciplined meditation and contemplation. If you are seriously going to deal with the forgetfulness of your heart and soul, there has to be a vigorous and disciplined meditation and contemplation. This is praying the truth into your life, which then ignites a new life in the presence of God. Take a photo of this if you want, please. Praying the truth into your life, which then ignites the new life in the presence of God. So in other words, you're not just talking to yourself. That's what you're doing. But you're talking to yourself in the presence of God. And this ignites a new life. Let's dissect it even a little further. So you are to pray. And you ought to study the Bible. We as Christians, and as Adventist Christians especially, know how important prayer is. We know how important the study of the Word is. But what does it do for us? Why is it so important? You are to do it in such a way that ignites love and grace, which overrides all negatives that we talked about. Remember, we talked about negatives, that by nature, by default, we go there. We are that. So you are using a spiritual discipline of prayer and you are using a spiritual discipline of Bible study for a reason, so that it overrides the negatives within you. How? But if you say, after reading the Bible and praying, I believe that God loves me, but I still am afraid, I'm still bitter, I'm still jealous, I'm still guilty, feel guilty, I'm worried, I'm discouraged. What was the whole point? What was the whole point? Therefore, you have to talk to yourself. Look at the psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul, my inmost being. And don't forget. You talk to yourself, you can say you preach to yourself. So this is more than prayer. It's more than prayer. It's preaching to self. How is it that you don't forget? You preach to yourself, you contemplate and meditate. I want you to see that this is not Eastern kind of religion or Eastern meditation. And you know what I'm talking about, don't you? In Eastern meditation, the final goal is that you totally empty yourself. There's no thinking, there's no feeling. You are in some kind of abyss and bliss where there's nothing. Can't be further from the truth as far as biblical thinking is concerned. This is contemplation and meditation. It is thinking rationally, contemplated. Psalmist is giving and breaking down the benefits that he gets from God. But it is praying relationally. He meditates. He's not just thinking about this, but he's thinking in the presence of God. He's thinking in the presence of God. It is reasoning and praying. It's listening to your heart and then taking it to your heart and arguing with it, talking to your heart, arguing in the presence of God. Here is the example. Here is the example. You know this psalm? People say that this psalm is especially for people who go through depression. And it is. But look at it. Look at it again. Look how it starts. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquiet within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Look what's happening. He is listening. What is he listening to? What is psalmist listening to in this psalm? He's listening to the quietness of his soul. That's what he's listening to. And then after he listens to the disquietness of his soul, then he starts talking. Who is he talking to? We already said it's not to God. It's to himself. Now, how is he talking to himself? I want you to see that he's not talking to himself too harshly. All right? He's not merciless towards himself. Sometimes we can be really harsh to ourselves. Hey, you stupid, how could you do this? You know, and you're talking to yourself and you are so harsh to yourself. How could you do that? You know, he's not talking too harshly to himself, but he's also not gentle. Oh, that's nothing. You know, it's all good. It's all. No, he's not also talking gently to himself, but he's talking to himself frankly and openly. So, we must listen to ourselves and then talk to ourselves. If you only listen to yourself, you will get depressed. Does this happen to you? You get up in the morning and you realize you're just listening to yourself, and what you are listening is just depressing you. And you didn't want kind of this voice to come to you, but it just comes. And it just depresses you. And if you continue doing that, don't do it, please. I mean, it's just dangerous. So if you just listen, you will be depressed. But you need to talk to yourself. And if you only talk to yourself, you don't know the problem. So both listening and talking to yourself needs to happen in the presence of God. Do you get it? We are all the same people. We are all the same. Listen, why are you downcast, O my soul? Okay, I'm hearing it, I'm feeling it. But I'm talking to myself, and I'm talking to myself in the presence of God. Okay, that's what's happening. But now we come to the most important part. What is it that we must remember? What will make our remembering lasting? What will make the core of who we are inside in such a way that if grief comes, if anger comes, if fear comes, if guilt comes, I know how to respond to that? Because I have come to learn what it means to remember and not to forget. Here it is. Forget not his benefits. Another translation says attributes. Now, I want you to now take this like water or the best juice or a good food. good food, okay? Okay, take it in, into the core of your being, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with a steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Do you love that? Do you love that? That's what you drink. That's what you eat. Okay? Problem behind all problems is we don't remember the gospel. It's the gospel. You see that? Psalmist is writing this much before Jesus died on the cross. And he's talking about the core of the gospel. So, the gospel must be the answer as we talk to ourselves, after listening to ourselves and our problems. Okay? Gospel is the answer. Here's the gospel. Here is the gospel. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heaven are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. Amen? It's not the end of the sermon, by the way. But how far is the east from the west? How far is it? Infinitely far. So what is David saying? God has removed your transgression as far as east is from the west. Gone forever. God mentally doesn't remember it? No, he does. But he has no grip on him at all. Yes, you understand that God loves you, but is that enough? Will this drive away your fear, jealousy, gossip, anger, guilt, doubt, loneliness? Not necessarily, unless you pray the gospel and pray the gospel properly to yourself. You can say this to yourself, but it won't melt you inside. What will melt you inside is the fire from within, in how this gospel came about. And watch it. David tells a story we need to follow. Look what he says. Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Do you see that David was reading the book of Exodus? And he was meditating and contemplating on it. What are we doing in this series? Going back to basics. Going back to basics. David was reading the Bible, contemplating and meditating on it. And he's quoting what Moses says, the Lord compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He quotes Exodus. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. That's what David says. Where does he get this from? Here is a problem. Look, I will not clear the guilty. So which one is true? Which one is true? If David says, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Where does he get this from? If Moses did say, I will not, God said, I will not clear the guilty. Which one is true? There seems to be a contradiction. How do you reconcile this? David says, I will not get what I deserve. And God does not clear the guilty, Moses said. So which one is true? Which one is right? David and Moses? We can believe both. David and Moses, if we believe what Isaiah said. We all like sheep have gone astray. And each one of us had turned to our own way. And God put on him the iniquities of us all. That's the answer. Gospel is the answer. You pray the prayer of gospel always, always, always. That makes your remembering right. That makes your heart and the core of being in such a way, puts you in the kind of a condition within that can respond to any of the life circumstances, because the gospel is centered properly in your life. We want to forget God. That's our problem, and try to forget him. What should be the penalty for forgetting? If you ignore him, should he ignore you? If you treat him as nobody, imagine that he treated you as nobody. He, the most significant person in the universe, imagine he treats you the way you treat him. And you know what? That's exactly what happened. Jesus was treated as nobody. And as he was on the cross, he said, when darkness covered the whole earth, he said, my Father, why have you forsaken me? He's speaking the truth, because God the Father has forsaken him because of our sins. Jesus was literally forgotten, ignored. When his blood was coming down his face, there was no other reason but that God totally turned away from him. 100%. There was no presence of God with Jesus. That's what happened. Totally ignored. Totally forgotten. Jesus looked to heaven and Father turned his face away. That's forgotten. This kind of forgetfulness is worse than hell. That's actually hell, the essence of hell. God forgot him. He was plunged into the darkness and spiritual torment because of God who forgot him. Why? Here is the core now. Why? Why? Why did he forget him? So that you and I will always be remembered. Yeah? Do you get that? He was forsaken so that we will never be forsaken. Preach the gospel to yourself. Pray the gospel to yourself. You know, we are talking in this series about going back to basics. Last time we talked about it's not praying to God, but praying for God. Today we are laying another foundation, which is this stone. That is that the essence is the gospel. So always pray the gospel to yourself. Talk to yourself. Listen to yourself in the presence of God. But may the object of your prayer be at the foot of the cross. So, this psalm is very general. It's not just dealing with depression. It's not just dealing with anger. It's not just dealing with whatever. It's dealing with absolutely everything. Just absolutely with everything. And it's focusing you where you need to be so that the core of your soul is in remembrance and not in forgetfulness of God. Well, I pray that this was helpful. Remember, you're always an accidental listener. I'm just preaching to myself. And I'm glad that you came today. God bless.